Well back. Welcome back, everybody.
Bellwack.
Bellwack. Bellwack, everybody. My name is Kaz.
This is
And
Medibot.
this is episode 85 of the Skulls cast, wherein Minibot and I are going to review
Hollow
more
Bell.
cons of Tarkir. Cons of more Tarkir. Fate
Previous
Reforged.
cons of Tarkir?
Fate Recon.
It's like Hollow History. They're like they got
It's
it
like.
the Disney's town.
It could be retconned.
That's I think
Retcons of Tarkir. There we go.
I think that's precisely what this set is about, actually.
So we're gonna start at the bottom.
All right. So starting off, should we talk about these all at once or?
I think so.
Okay, so importantly, the cycle of 10 two-color lands from Cons of Tarkir is being reprinted. Mostly so that you get another bite at them while you're drafting or playing other limited formats, and also just so that they are around some more and they all enter the battlefield tap for one of two colors and gain you a life when they enter the battlefield.
They all look pretty good. They got John Avon to do a number of them. He's a noted land illustrator guy.
The lands in general look pretty good. Interesting to note about the art is that the art in all of these is slightly different than the art in the Cons of Tarkir versions.
Oh, really?
Yes, there
So
are
you can
minor
see, like.
changes, so you can see that this is clearly the same place, but a little different.
Well, I was gonna mention the basic lands.
Oh.
How in each case we have two versions of each basic, and one is clearly the, like, this belongs to the Khan or whatever, and the other is some kind of like blasted wasteland that has been ruined by dragons. So the swamp, for instance, is soul tied because all the colors, all the wedges are pretty transparently just one color
Yes.
and stuff. So Sultai gets swamps, for instance, and so the Sultai swamp looks neat, and like they're just starting to build a palace and get a fortune or whatever. And the dragon swamp looks like no one lives there anymore because it has been ruined
By
by
dragons.
dragons. So yeah, the lands are pretty good looking. There's another land that I might have scrolled over too fast. No, there it is.
There it
Okay.
is. All right, so now that we've got that out of the way. Crucible of the Spirit Dragon. It's a land. Tap for one colorless mana. One and tap, put a storage counter on Crucible of the Spirit Dragon. Tap, remove X storage counters from Crucible of the Spirit Dragon. Add X mana in any combination of colors to your mana pool. Spend this mana only to cast dragon spells or activate abilities of dragons.
Well, this land is pretty dumb.
It's
I
goofy.
don't like it at all. The main reason is that we had storage lands back in Time Spiral,
Yeah,
and they were
they were
like they
fine.
were fine. They were two color storage lands, and you could use them for anything. They were even like in some cases they were just really good. You could just build them up and be like, "Wow, I have all this
Now I
mana
blaze you
ramping
for
in like
20.
whatever color that I
Yeah.
want." Yeah, it was Blaze or. Was it called Dragonfire?
Demon fire,
There's Demonfire, there's Banefire.
Banefire,
Right.
Hellfire,
Dragonfire.
Murderfire,
Ooh.
Killfire,
Hell
Deathfire,
Murderfire. I can't wait for Murderfire.
Thrillfire.
Thrillfire comes much later. But no, this is just way worse than all of those, and it's at rare, and it mentions dragons,
Yeah, dragons are
which are
important in this set.
supposed to be like the thing in this
Oh
set,
yeah,
even
dragons are
though
very important.
on the balance there's not all that much to them. And I don't know, it's just like, okay, also compare it to the Eldrazi lands that we had back in Rise of the Eldrazi.
Yeah.
Eldrazi Temple was real, like flat tap for two for Eldrazi. It's like that's a big
Right. There were
bonus.
enough things on them floating around that had the word Eldrazi on it that you probably wanted to be playing anyway, that picking up
Like that, the land in question was not any big thing in limited, but neither was it a blank piece of cardboard. This, I think, is pretty dang blank. I'm pretty down on
Basically,
it.
it's it's very much on the cute end of the scale. It says, hey, you opened me in your sealed pool. Why not play five color dragons?
Right. And for me, I give it such hell because it really is just like, oh, take that old Time Spiral land and wipe out the colors and put dragons in place of that.
If there were more dragons in the set, would you be... Or more things honestly, that it could do.
No, if the set were top to bottom dragons, I still wouldn't like it all that much.
Mm.
Just because of how insular that would be.
Because
now, yeah, like, remove it. You only get to store for dragons, and in the meantime, you have this colorless land. That's... Ugh. Like, I can just see someone opening this and be like, man, my Shivan dragon can fire breathe for so much. Yeah, you could fire breathe for a lot more if you probably just had...
The
like
red
mountains in
storage
your,
land.
In your library. Yeah. Like any given red storage land would be way better than this. Because you could also be like cast spells with that.
Yeah.
That are not themselves dragons. You'd be able to cast that Banefire or Dragonfire or whatever.
Dragon Banefire.
I've wasted enough words on Crucible of the Spirit. I'll give you the name.
The name is pretty intense. It's up there with Brutal Beast Chamber. Alright, next up is Ugin's Construct. 4 mana for a 4/5 artifact creature construct. When Ugin's Construct enters the battlefield, sacrifice a permanent that's one or more colors.
And if you happen to, just as a quick rules thing, if you happen to not have any such permanent, then the ability simply does nothing and you move on.
And you did the best you could.
Yep. And if you have a morph or whatever, those are all colorless.
Yeah.
So you're good.
Yeah.
So this thing is great.
4/5?
You have a Yeti all of a sudden.
Like, yeah. Morph on 3, this dude on 4, and you're like, oh, I'll sacrifice.
Yeah.
Oh,
by the way, Yetis and magic are way above the curve, and...
Is that just our term now for 4 mana 4/5s?
I think it should be.
All right.
Yetis. Since we've had a number of them already.
Yeah.
I mean, there's Siege Rhino. In
disgusting
Khans of Tarkir, which is
reprehensible.
That has been making a splash all over the world of Standard. And Bellowing Saddle Brute.
Now that's a Yeti I can believe.
4/4/5.
She doesn't mess around.
She's bellowing and brutish. Alright,
so this is just a really efficient creature. Okay, so let's imagine the world where like you can't get around the... If you have this like in your opener, do you... Or like... Just in your deck, do you try to sort of play around its drawback?
You don't even have to all that much. Just because, like, turn 3, a morph, turn 4, this.
Yeah.
It's
I'm thinking more of a turn
8,
I top deck Ugin's Construct.
Yeah, sacrifice my embodiment of spring. No big deal.
Okay.
Like, you're upgrading your guy for that.
Okay.
I wouldn't even mind it. And, you know, you could also, like, sacrifice a... what's it called? Like a sacrifice your singing bell strike that no longer works because they get to spend the mana. No, I can never see this guy as being worse than like a 5 mana 4/5 or a 6 mana 4/5 or something.
All right. Next up is Scroll of the Masters. 2 mana for an artifact. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, put a lore counter on Scroll of the Masters. 3 tap. Target creature you control gets +1/+1 until end of turn for each lore counter on Scroll of the Masters.
Well, that it's kind of cute.
It's cute. It's sort of saving prowess charges.
Right.
So
and
you're
it's worth noting that the counters don't go away when you use
yeah.
a second ability.
So, like, if near the end of the game you're just having this onboard trick of giving a creature +3/+3 or +4/+4...
Passable Pump is kind of good.
Your opponent has to do a lot more math than they'd like to.
It's like, oh, which creature do you block? Stare.
That said, top decking this late game will make you feel like an idiot for running it. The best turn to play this is 2. Simply because, you know, yes, it slows your start down a bit, but it ensures that it's getting counters on it. Even if it's just giving +2/+2, it's passable.
That, yeah, that's still quite good. That's a thing about a lot of the abilities that we're going to see and talk about. You don't need them to do... like everything. Even though a lot of them are going to have like no upper limit or whatever, you don't need to chain cast spells in order to make this baseline function. I think it's like, it's all right. This is not a bomb.
No, I probably wouldn't first pick like, this, but seeing this around the middle of a pack, if I'm already sort of feeling prowessy, I'm like, yeah, prowess medium artifact.
Sure.
All right, next up is Pilgrim of the Fires. 7 mana for a 6/4 artifact creature golem with first strike and trample.
That's a pretty good golem.
So...
Like, 6 power of first strike is massive.
Yes.
I can't even remember the last 6 power first striker that we've had. It would have had to have been one of those cycle of gigantic things kind of things.
Yeah.
And even then, I think it was only like 5. Like, 6 power first strike is massive. And trample too, so that you can't ever. Like, okay, 7 mana, 6/4, unblockable. How about that?
Yeah, I like.
Also difficult to
very,
package.
Like, this because it's uncommon and for other reasons, is very different from, but still reminds me a little bit of another expensive colorless creature, Ulamog's Crusher. That,
well, he reminds me more of Hexplate Golem.
Oh, okay. That's fair.
Because that was about the size of
that's
things.
Probably
like,
a
I worry
fair
that
comparison.
At 7 mana, by the time we get to him, he'll be irrelevant, but he also fits in every color.
Yeah. Watch that for toughness, though. For reasons we'll see in a bit.
Oh, yeah, okay. Like, 4 used to be, like, just good in the previous set, but now it's, like, a little bit not. Just because 4 was enough to not die to Arc Lightning.
Yeah.
I think there was something else that was like -3 or something, and like 4 was a good.
Bringlow
did 3 damage. That's yeah. Well, anyway.
Right. Anyway, if you need a curve topper, this goes on the top.
Good, and late game. All
right. Next up is Huge Stone Retainers. 3 mana for a 4/4 artifact creature golem. Cast Huge Stone Retainers only if you've cast another spell this turn.
They're like robbing my mind of cards.
Oh, I think this is good. I like this a lot. I want several of these in my deck. Not too many, but
yeah,
but maybe 3.
So, okay, turn 6 you get a Morphin this. That's not bad. Turn 4 you get a crummy spell and this.
You drop your Kinfrey
Warden.
That's
not bad.
A 4/4? Just
so,
the cost to benefit ratio is pretty severe here that you don't mind having to juggle a little bit to set it up.
Right.
The amount of 4/4 is a question.
That's probably gonna be the biggest thing on whatever board it lands on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awkward if you're hellbent.
Oh yeah. You're like, aha, I peeled my Huge Stone
Unplayable creature.
Okay, so we should value card filtering a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. All right, next up is Hero's Blade. 2 mana for an artifact equipment. Equipped creature gets +3/+2. Whenever a legendary creature enters the battlefield under your control, you may attach Hero's Blade to it. Equip it for 4.
Okay, so for 6 mana, I can engage my one turn permanent pump on a guy. I don't like that. It's very heavy.
On the other hand,
4 equip is heavy.
2 Hero's Blade, 3 Morph, 4 equip. Enjoy my 5/4 coming your way.
Yeah, I guess. It's by no means bad.
No.
This is kind of one of these, like, I want one of these.
Especially considering how good other equipment looks in this set. It doesn't.
Yeah, even the auras look kind of bad, even though they went out of their way to make
this is
auras look
about as good as you're going to get. And the equipment is still equipment.
Okay. I guess the reason that I'm waffling over this one is because I remember using Trusty Machete.
Yeah, we all remember getting chopped in half with a Trusty Machete.
And that equipment was awesome.
That equipment
was
too good.
Meh.
This one basically, I mean, I have, without shame, played Greatsword in limited events.
Well, that's 3/3.
Yeah.
Right? That's like...
But it's still 6 mana total on the first equipment, yeah, and 3 points of power. This also gets you 2 toughness and maybe wacky stuff.
It does fit the morph curve. Alright, you get a pass, Hero's Blade.
Alright, next up is Goblin Boom Keg. 4 mana for an artifact. At the beginning of your upkeep, sacrifice Goblin Boom Keg. When Goblin Boom Keg is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, it deals 3 damage to target creature or player.
Uh-huh.
So, 4 mana, slow, colorless bolt.
I mean, short of some kind of... what is that thing? Short of some kind of trading post loop, I don't see this doing anything.
I'm not, like, what was that, Flamecast Wheel?
Yeah.
Yeah. Seems kind of...
Why do they keep giving us terrible lightning bolts?
Because it's on artifacts.
No. Get out of here.
Wee.
Design an artifact, you idiots.
All right. Well, that's all for artifacts.
It is all for artifacts. I think we can fit multicolor into this all one right, as well.
Yeah.
And before we get into multicolor, there aren't many of these. It's, in fact, limited to 2 cycles.
Yep.
There's a cycle of commons that have enemy color pairs, and a cycle of dragons.
Legendary dragons.
And rare that have... Oh, they are legendary. How about that? That have allied color pairs, and that's it. That's all we get of the set.
So, War Flare. 2 of red and white for an instant. Creatures you control get +2/+1 until end of turn. Untap those creatures.
Bigger trumpet blast.
Trumpet blast.
Wow.
Crumpet blast.
the crumpet blast.
The crumpet gives you 1 point of toughness.
Mmm. Tasty.
Yeah.
Fatter around the middle for that.
Midsections.
I honestly don't like it that much more than trumpet blast. I don't care if they untap. Like, I'm casting my trumpet blast to end the game right now.
Right. I guess
untapping won't matter.
Having that untap means you can also use it to be like, surprise, instead of alpha striking me and killing me, instead I wipe your team.
Yeah, but could that have been employed last turn as a trumpet blast to just kill your opponent instead?
Probably.
Like, that's kind of the... I don't know. It does... Okay, it is an instant that says untap creatures. And there might be a reason why I'm pointing that out.
That might be
for later. So that's certainly a consideration. As it stands, this isn't going to do all that much. It's a harder to cast trumpet blast. The toughness will rarely matter. And in standard, we have Jeskai Ascendancy for like rapid and multi untapping of creatures.
Yeah.
So we don't really care about this.
Right.
I like that it's at common. That's about it.
I think it being at common is good for formats. You have to respect it. But it's also 2 colors, so you have to be real. That's 4 mana. Alright, next up is Silumgar, the Drifting Death. Which is 4 blue and a black for a 3/7 legendary dragon with flying and hexproof. Whenever a dragon you control attacks, creatures defending player controls get -1/-1 until end of turn. If your opponent controls Archer's Parapet, frown a lot, I guess.
Yeah, that's really it. Either you... Like, Archer's Parapet answers him. Not very much does, though. And he, like, kills all tokens.
Yeah. That
can't be killed by anything. It's, like, way too tough.
Yeah. 7 toughness and hexproof makes for a tough nut to crack. The attack trigger is cute. If you manage to attack with a second dragon, you're now wiping all of their morphs.
Yeah, that's kind of sketch-tastic. So he's probably worth chasing.
Yeah.
Like, I would first pick this.
I would gladly first pick and chase it just to win games I shouldn't with my unsolvable flying.
It is awkward that... I mean, in... not cons of Tarkir,
Fate Reforged,
what was it,
Retcons of Tarkir.
In Retcons of Tarkir.
Or was that the next set?
No, that's Dragons of Tarkir.
Okay.
We have retcons.
Asked and answered.
Retcons of Tarkir doesn't have the same like wedge kind of thing that
Cons of Tarkir
does. So in the set, you're not as concerned about colors like narrowing in on a wedge. But the draft format is going to have two packs of it.
Yeah, so you still have to be thinking about what wedge am I playing. So,
right, this is the worst kind of gold card to pick, and you might not get much support. So
right, the dragons in general are really asking that Hodo question. This is saying, you are Sultai, or you are wacky, and doing something goofy.
Yeah.
Good luck.
You know, it...
But bombers, you know.
There's also the like the greed aspect of it, and this is a very, very powerful card to greed your way into. So, I'll grant it. Like, just I what I'm trying to say is this card is good. The practice of putting all these bomb rares in super committed color combinations in the set is reprehensible.
All right. Next up is Ojutai. Soul of Winter. 5, a white and a blue for a 5/6 legendary dragon with flying and vigilance. Whenever a dragon you control attacks, tap target non-land permanent and opponent controls. That permanent doesn't untap during its controller's next untap step.
Bonkers.
So you get have a vigilant Mahamati Djinn that breathes ice.
It also, it does the Frost Titan thing.
Yeah.
I guess this one says non-land permanent.
Yeah.
So you can't,
can't lock them out of mana. But you do get to freeze
still,
their...
It's like, hold on.
You know, their one good
right,
blocker.
It's a bomb and a removal spell.
Yeah.
So, like, the anti-bomb, that's crazy. And it still gets to block. This is like the game lock right here. 7 mana. This is an appropriate power level for a 7 mana legendary dragon. Yeah.
All right, next. Next is Kolaghan, the Storm's Fury, which is 3, a black and a red for a 4/5 legendary dragon with flying. Whenever a dragon you control attacks, creatures you control get +1/+0 until end of turn. Dash for 3, a black and a red. And what dash means is you may cast this spell for its dash cost. If you do, it gains haste, and it's returned from the battlefield to its owner's hand at the beginning of the next end step.
So we haven't talked about the dash mechanic yet, which is making its debut in Retcons of Tarkir. And no, why not talk about it on Kolaghan?
Okay.
Storm's Fury. It's a little weird on him, and I would prefer if he just had haste and forget about the dash part, because the dash cost is the same.
Yeah.
And I mean, maybe if he had haste, he'd be too good or whatever, but I don't think so. And you could just like knock off a point of toughness or something if you really
make
wanted
him 6 or
like, we've seen Thunderball Hellkite, for God's sake.
Yeah,
so clearly a pushed dragon power level could support that. I mean, okay, you call you cross off dash, put haste on, and it's still not quite as powerful as Thundermaw Hellkite.
Yeah, actually, it's...
So I think
Footlight is
be...
good, turns out.
Is that the other one?
Oh, Stormbreath. I'm thinking Stormbreath.
Yeah,
Dragon.
Stormbreath Dragon, which it is.
Yeah.
But dealing 1 damage to flyers...
Also that.
Them.
Get out the way!
It's my turn now!
It's cute.
Right.
Like, it has dash so you can, like, surprise pump your team during your first main.
Can...
And then pay for it
some
more.
Have the same keyword as other things that had this keyword in the set?
Yeah.
Really? Like, you could remove dash from this guy, remove dash from the set, and this guy would not change all that much. And that's pretty annoying. But, you know...
Good attack trigger.
Is... he's pretty powerful. All these dragons are pretty powerful.
Alright. Next up is Harsh Sustenance. 1, a white and a black for an instant. Hosh Sustenance deals X damage to target creature or player, and you gain X life, where X is the number of creatures you control. I think this is first pickable.
Mm-hmm. White-black being an enemy color pair is easier.
Playing Madu or Abzan, both of which are colors that will, in general, be putting creatures on the board.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a removal spell that gains you life.
Target creature or player.
Jeez. Oh, also I can burn you out with it. Honestly, if it just said target creature, I'd still first pick it.
Right. That's
this is good.
As far as removal goes.
Mm.
I mean, look, you can usually put three creatures together.
Yeah.
And while, okay, yes, if you, in a post-Wrath world, this card is doing actually nothing. Like, it's not even worth a prowess trigger because you don't have any of that left.
I think this is a very strong card, and I will gladly pick it early. Ooh, Modu Goblin Slide with this.
Now, there are a ton of things that make tokens.
Oh, yes.
Across, like, white, black, and red, they all just have way more tokens than usual. Because red is...
Modu Horde Chief is two creatures from the last set.
There's tons of it. So, this spell is going to be harsh.
Yeah. Alright.
Casually, it goes into Thalid's decks pretty well.
Yeah. Next up is Grim Contest. One, a black and a green. For an instant, choose target creature you control and target creature an opponent controls. Each of those creatures deals damage equal to its toughness to the other. So you get the butt fight.
It is definitely the butt fight.
It's the butt fight.
Why they couldn't just make another fight card, I don't know.
Because Sultai has toughness matters.
This is so goofy.
And Abzan also is pretty good on toughness.
My Salt Room Patrol.
Yeah, your Salt Room Patrol can like knock dragons out of the sky.
My monastery flock. Take that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hold on.
Birds.
Wait, what else? Archer's Parapet.
Archer's Parapet is a complete beating with this card.
Man, this card
But there are a lot of those sort of weird big toughness creatures that likely some of them are ending up in your deck anyway.
I guess. Honestly, it's probably going to be about as good as a fight card.
Yeah,
so,
which is good.
Like,
also,
three
it's
mana,
instant
fight, good. So we can give it a pass.
All right.
Especially, again, like, these specific two colors easier to fit into than... an allied color pair, two colors.
Yeah. Alright, next up is Ethereal Ambush. Three, a green and a blue, for an instant, manifest the top two cards of your library.
Ooh, how do I manifest something?
Well, Kaz, to manifest a card, put it onto the battlefield face down as a 2/2 creature. Turn it face up any time for its mana cost if it's a creature card.
So, you get two morphs.
Yes. Manifest is... the new special magic word.
It's all over the place
in
this set.
Of Tarkir.
It's one of the things that I kind of like about this set.
I like it.
It's something I like so much, I want it to be part of the game rules of Magic the Gathering. To just, as a game action, you pay three and manifest the damn thing.
Like with any card?
With any card. I would want that. Certainly I would want it in Magic 2, but that's sort of a huge mess of
five mana instant two bears.
Yeah, just on the for this card, instant two bears, that's pretty good. If you happen to have like a ton of mana left over and one of them happens to be a creature, you can suddenly be like, whoa, but in fact this one is a snake. It's a snake!
Yeah. In a creature-heavy deck, you know, doing this just on your opponent's end step is sort of like drawing two cards and giving them haste. Sort of double reverse. It's hard to think about what exactly the value of manifest is, but I feel that the value of manifest is generally positive. In general...
Oh, yeah.
Manifesting things is good because you get a creature.
It's usually an upside. You can think of it as a gray ogre with small upside.
Yeah.
Just on the balance. because there's lots of stuff to be able to interact with it. Yeah. There are colorless permanents in case you just want to have your Ugin's construct or whatever. They, if they are creatures, they can flip over for their cost, you know, whenever. Yeah. If they're not, then they're now like just plain old spells or lands that can deal damage to your opponent.
Yeah.
So that's really good. It's hard to think of a downside to manifesting from your library, right, apart from mill, I guess.
Yeah, if you're worried about getting milled out, then that's the only downside.
We'll keep our eye out for that. I don't remember any super mill cards from the set when I was taking a look through it. All right,
next up is Dromoka the Eternal.
What kind of mocha? I want coffee.
Same. Also, 3 green and a white for a 5/5 legendary dragon with flying. Whenever a dragon you control attacks, bolster too.
You're just hitting all the keywords. Yeah. Aren't I clever for doing it in this direction?
Alright. To bolster, you choose a creature with the least toughness among creatures you control and put the bolster number, in this case 2, +1/+1 counters on it. Yeah. Yep.
So he starts out as a flying gorilla.
Check. Passes. +5 is 5/5. Passes vanilla test.
Yeah,
great.
That's a pretty good stat block. And then if he happens to be your only creature, well, hey, I'll just
7. Get huge. Most likely, Dromoka is not your biggest creature, but statistically speaking, eventually, but either then, your opponent is dead or Dromoka is.
Your smallest. If he's not your only creature, or if he is your smallest creature, well, congratulations to you.
Yeah.
If he's not, then he makes one of your creatures reasonable. Like, he turns a 1/1 into a 3/3.
Yeah.
And that spreads the, like, diversity of threats around.
Or you can do goofy stuff like, this morph is only a 2/2. I'll give it counters. Whoops, I flipped it into a 6/6 now. It's 8/8. Whoops. Little tricks. This is just good. There's no really wrong way to play this card.
Not a foreseeable upper limit.
You play it and you
Dromoka.
Attack with it.
I think I am willing to call it the best dragon. Like, all the dragons that we've looked at so far have been somewhere between like Inviolable in Sigilmar, pretty hasty in Kolaghan, or like impossible to surmount in Ujutai. And this one is sort of the best mid-rangey kind of dragon. And I think that's the best place for such a flyer to be in, because it can pick you up from behind against a rushdown deck, and it can get a impossible threat up in front of a control deck, something like that. So he's... quite good. Also, I like gorillas.
Yeah, it is a built-in threat diversification and or overwhelming card, and so it's just does jobs. Next up, Cunning Strike, 3 a blue and a red for an instant. Cunning Strike deals 2 damage to target creature and 2 damage to target player.
Watcha.
Draw a card.
Oh yeah!
So you get the
Jeskai.
3-hit Jeskai combo.
I can't even believe that this card does not have the Jeskai logo in it.
None of the ones
in this
cycle.
I know. But still, they all should.
Yeah, probably.
Basically, they all should. They're
like the art and the flavor text and the mechanics of the card.
They all very obviously belong to one. But just because, okay, you could have Cunning Strike or Warflare in your Jeskai deck, whatever. Okay, fine. It's cunning. Let's see. 2 damage to target creature says kill a morph. 2 damage to target player says I don't care all that much and draw a card. So it's not... No. This is not the greatest thing in the world.
It's all right.
It's no Electrolyze. People are talking about this like the second coming of Electrolyze, and I'm like, no.
Electrolyze is 3 mana, right?
It is, for one. And 1 toughness creatures exist for another, so you can, like, 2/0 your opponent... on cards, and it's way cheaper than this. So this is about... And Electrolyze is also an uncommon. Where Cunning Strike is a common. It's better to see. I like it.
I think it's fine.
It looks pretty hefty. It comes down after all your prowess guys are on the table. And it's like, hey,
it's
hey.
An instant, which is good for right. that. All right, so Cunning Strike is all right.
Yeah, it's fine. It is no Harsh Sustenance or Grim Contest. But I think it's better than War Flare, at least. We're going to, like, keep it in the family.
Yeah. All right. And our last multicolor card is Atoka World Render. Just 5, a red and a green, for a 6/4 legendary dragon with flying and trample. Whenever a dragon you control attacks, it gains double strike until end of turn.
Okay. Fine.
What if we just sent in the night train?
Again, an appropriate power level for a 7 mana thing.
Yeah.
The next time it gets to attack, it's probably ending the game. So, you know.
Yeah.
All right, 12 you. That's yeah. pretty huge.
And if you happen to have another dragon sitting around.
Which there are some.
There are some. I say that because you very well may have another dragon right. sitting around when you.
Yeah, they did pepper the set with other dragons.
Yes, so it's not just these legendary rare ones. Legendary ones.
You know, down as I was on the Crucible of the Spirit Dragon, whose only awesome feature is its name, there's enough dragons that this could legitimately happen. It could even do something right away. Like, aha! I cast a Tarka, attack with the dragon that I already have.
It double strikes. Go to blocks.
Right, so that one probably has the hugest potential swingy upside of any of the dragons that we've seen. Okay, Silumgar is also pretty. That's a different kind of huge upside. Yeah. You get nothing as opposed to this one, which says I get everything.
The steam engine. She's great.
The steam engine. I think that's about all for this chunk. It's a pretty decently sized chunk of retcons of Tarkir, also called Fate Reforged. The reason that we're calling it retcons of Tarkir, the story of the set is that what's his face travels back Sarkhan. In time. Sarkhan. I always want to not say the word Khan when talking about his name because it's Khans of Tarkir.
Sarki Maloki.
Also because Sarkhan the Mad was one of my favorite planeswalkers of all time. I love that guy to death.
So does he.
Yeah! Woo! But yeah, so the story is Sarkhan goes back in time into the time when dragons once ruled the land of Tarkir. And that's it as far as I know. He's just sort of
hanging out,
going back in time. He's like, I knew there were dragons here.
Temporal tourism.
Yeah, he's just sort of, shows up. Wait, there's still no dragons. Hold on. Aha! I knew it. If I only de-baked the oven. Set to 400 degrees, bake for -9 minutes. Until you get back to the land of dragons. But no, you can see what I mean. Like, desolated forest. And then, like,
pretty nice looking houses in a forest.
They have, like, nice island, messed up island, that kind of thing. I don't think they're evenly distributed, because, like, that's clearly a Jeskai mountain, even though the island is also clearly a Jeskai island. And, like, that forest looks more Sultai than it does Abzan.
Yeah. Hmm. Who knows?
Well, maybe it's not perfect. It's still neatly come in, like, decent V-desolated pairs. Which is nice. You know one of the hardest things to do is collect, like, the same basic land? And just have, like, if you're running a monocolor deck or whatever, it's like,
yeah, you want, all, like, of, 24 all of your lands look the same. Of the same one. I know a lot of people take that pretty seriously.
Yeah, it's trivial to do online, but really difficult to do in paper. And so, like, actually collect basic lands. Some of them look cool. Well, that's it.
Oh.
For this installation. We're going to talk about the others
Okay.
later. But for now, goodbye.
Skulls.